Welcome again. We're happy you chose us. Come on in. Wash yourself off. Would you enjoy a bourbon and Coke? There's a liquor store down the road. If you go, I need rolling papers. Well, since you're here, let's get this daily douchebag pledge out of the way. All right, bitches, swing your hips and pelvic thrust. Shout it out with me. I, Joe or Jane Listener, promise to download every podcast. I, Joe or Jane Listener, promise to make all friends, family members, and workmates download this show. I, Joe or Jane Listener, promise to grab idle computers, work computers, friends' computers, community computers, and other assorted phones and listening devices and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane Listener, will download the show and constantly barrage everyone whose show name and platforms. I, Joe or Jane Listener, promise to wear a chicken costume and scream the show's name from my front yard. And finally, because of our 13-year-old boy humor, you must go to Noblick, Cooter, Licking, and Uranus, Missouri to take selfies with the designs. If you go to Uranus, go to the Fudge Factory. Yes, there's a Fudge Factory in Uranus. No joke.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two Douchebags and a Microphone.
We talk.
Hey peeps! It's time for the police blotter. That's right, stories about stupid criminals and the dumbassness that ensued. Let us begin now.
An Ohio man was arrested after authorities said he mistakenly sent a baggie of crystal meth through a tube at a bank drive-thru last week. Jason G. Smith, 46, was cuffed on December the 3rd. After a swift investigation into an unexpected deposit he made at the bank in Woodsfield, Ohio, according to a press release from Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Smith drove away from the bank without realizing his mistake. An employee reported the baggie he left. He was picked up on a drug charge soon after.
Hey, all you ginger snaps. It's time for the douchebag question of the week. Turn all answers into two douches at mail.com. Spell out the number 2. Send in your replies or Rob will find you. He is waiting for the word. Don't be bashful, you'll get yourself hurt.
The question of the week is, are superstitions a must in your day-to-day life? For instance, you're on your way to work and a black cat runs in front of your car. Do you split down a side road or do a U-turn to avoid the bad luck? Email us at twodouches@mail.com. That's the number 2, spelled out kids, so don't fuck it up.
Here we go. Signs that you might be a pussy. Signs that you might be a pussy. If you have ever had Phil Collins or Oingo Boingo posters on your wall, if you've ever raised your coffee mug or tea glass with your pinky extended, if you often lotion up your hands with no apparent reason, if you like poached eggs, if you sing along to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or if you have ever wore a pair of Crocs, even just trying them out, you are a pussy.
You watch the news. It looks grim. Is an apocalypse inevitable? We suggest you download all our podcasts beforehand and have multiple mobile chargers. We have your post-apocalypse.
Remember post-apocalypse to have a sewage bit. Sewage, untreated, can result in serious illness and other obstacles for your family to live well. You also should have some chemicals stocked up, maybe bags of chlorine or something of such, to sanitize the sewage per week.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems,
It's a hell bridge construction. Shit. I cannot believe I have to repair this bridge after 50 years. Man, what am I gonna do now? I can't, like, get 10 minutes earlier just to get to work. This is complete bullshit. I'm gonna write my congressman.
Your mama's so fat, Dracula bit her neck and got diabetes.
Hey, dickhead, no one gives an ounce of shit what you had for breakfast. Not even the person on the other end. You look like a mentally slow driv yelling into thin air all through the store. I pray that Bluetooth shorts out and blows up your eardrums. What men consider self-centered dunce. Monty constantly coddled this dummy and it fucking shows. Go look back home and bore your dog. Wait, you probably forgot the thieving because you're too busy looking in the mirror all day. Fuck off.
Good evening. This is Two Douchebags and Microphone. We are a podcast. I am Mark, and I am the Kansas City end of this podcast at what I call the Talk is Cheap studio. And I also like to make goat noises after I introduce myself, which would be like this.
And I am Rob in Wheeling, Missouri, home of the magnificent Lucas Oil Speedway and Water Track. And also home of Hickamo Country Store, where you can find everything you need, including a selfie with the green Sinclair dinosaur in the duck blind studio. Wah, wah.
I hear you need to get butt plugs there. Is this true?
Okay, those I have not found, but you know, they have things that might work.
Okay, corks.
Go to the plumbing section, they might work.
You can go to the wine section and take a cork. Wouldn't that be a butt plug? Yeah. All right, okay, I don't know if they have butt plugs. I kind of doubt it, but anyhow.
You'll find something, I guarantee it.
Yes. yeah, cool store. All right.
They are that good.
Miniature Buc-ee's is what they are. All right, and oh yeah, yeah, try the burritos, but make sure that it's a nice, sunny, warm day. That way you can have the windows down on your ride home. You're going to want
and
it.
And add the queso sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to put the queso sauce on there. I did not know about the queso.
You ask them for queso, and they'll automatically just dump a bunch of it on top.
That's that Southern hospitality there. They don't fuck around. Yeah, they're like, oh, you want queso? I'll give you queso. How about 300 pounds of queso? Does that sound good?
I'll tell you what, it does. It makes it so much better.
Oh, queso makes everything better. Oh, my God. You could put queso on about anything. I mean, let me think. You could put queso on fucking vanilla wafers, and it would be great.
Now, there is
caviar.
One thing that queso would not fix for me.
What's that?
Beef liver.
Okay, that's one.
Nothing.
Me, any type of seafood or fish would not make it better.
Okay.
Well, I don't like it anyhow, so. Hey, Rob, it looks like winter is finally caught up with us. I told everybody not to get so cocky, and they did, and now look at it. Have you seen your forecast?
I've seen the forecast.
Ours isn't quite so bad. They're saying 4 to 6 inches of snow, but I read where Shell Knob might get 10 to 20 inches of snow. That would be Table Rock Lake area.
Right. Well, my boss come up to me today, and I've done some research.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling 6 to 8 for us.
Okay.
Is the majority of the what they're calling for? But there's also the ones they're calling 19 to 23 inches.
Okay, I'm not sure. A friend that lives down that area is one that told us.
Well, in some of the models.
Okay.
So, but it's more, we're probably going to be like 6 to 8.
Okay, yeah. And we're supposed to be 4 to 6, so we'll see. Yeah, you know what? The thing about snowstorms is, as soon as they're done, you'll know how much you got, and not a minute until then.
Exactly, and I played it smart yesterday. you know, I'm traveling 54. There's some hills and shit. And here while back, we had a overnight, early morning snow.
Yeah.
And it was a little slick. The old douchebag mobile slipped a couple times.
Ooh, all right. Well,
going to work, and coming home. Well, I got smart yesterday. Right after I left work, right in the street, there's a lumber yard. I stopped and bought me 4 80-pound bags of sackcrete.
There you go. And also neutral. Sackcrete and neutral.
And I have the fiberglass tunnel cover.
Oh,
so
yep.
All winter long, I'll be able to use that sackcrete next spring.
You are a smart man indeed.
Yes.
And also fine neutral.
It was either that or sandbags. Because I was going to get sandbags.
Well, you also need to place those over your axle. You know this, Rob, but I'm telling someone that doesn't. Place them over your back axle.
Over the back axle, yes.
Yes.
You want that weight.
You want that traction to go straight down on the axle to give you more friction from the tires to the road. That's the whole thing. And also, always find neutral. If you start to slip, throw it in neutral real quick. It will quit pulling, and usually it will straighten up. And if it doesn't, usually you can skid into the steer and come back out. It's hard to do, but once you've driven on this shit a certain amount of time, it becomes natural. And now whenever I start to slip, I just hit neutral, not even think about it. So
back in the 80s, growing up, you know, that's how we went out and played. That's how we learned how to drive it.
Yeah, we had bald tires and an old fucking Dodge Dart, you know. So
Rubbed the Bastrom Mall parking lot. Just donuts.
Yeah.
Just to learn how. Hell, even Belton Walmart. I did many of them there.
I got a story
Original Belton Walmart.
I got a story for you, Rob. You know Daisy Walnut Apartments out there on Blue Ridge Boulevard near Grandview or in Grandview?
Yes.
Okay.
Daisy Apartments, yes.
I was dropping off Jason, you know Jason, I don't want to say his last name, the stoner Jason.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember
and,
him.
Yeah, he lived over there at the time, and I was dropping him off, and before that, we saw these huge mounds of snow. It was dead of winter, and I'm like, I go, dude, you think I can make it through one of those? He was stoned off his ass, and I don't know, I don't know, you know, who knows, I might have been. So he's like, yeah, I think you can. So I put that motherfucker in this, I think it's my old Dodge Dart, or it could have been the Pinto. I don't think it's a Pinto, I probably would have fucking blew up. But anyhow, I'm fucking flying through this one, great. I go, I knew I could do it. Then I go to another one, I fly halfway through it, and bam, knocked the shit out of us. There's a light pole in the middle of there that we didn't see. They stacked the snow up so high. Okay, and I couldn't see above that, and you know, there's snow blowing and everything, so we thought it was just a large snow mound, like the other one that we blew through, so I'm like, hee, watch this, he's like, oh yeah, do it, dude, and we get halfway through, and I mean, I don't know how fast I was going, but we hit that thing and bounced back, and it fucked up my car, both of us were hurting afterwards, talk about screwing up, I mean, that was stupid, have you ever done that?
What? Were you with me the night I was over by Boss Mike? I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
By his house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was snow. We were going down through the neighborhood. I slid, hit a parked car, took off. I can't remember if you were with me or not on that one.
I think I do remember a little bit about that. I think I was with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe you. I think we were coming. I think it was after work.
I think so. Yeah.
We went over to Mike's and we were heading home and it snowed and slid, hit a parked car and we just fucking took off.
Oh yeah. I think
hopefully there is no statute of limitation.
Yeah, I think I remember that, and I think I did that the exact same thing a couple of weeks later. So yeah, I do think so, and I think you were with me, and we looked at each other and said, "Again?"
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, you were. Yeah.
And you're not looking at each other and go, "Yeah, okay, again."
Here we go again.
So anyhow,
say that and I won't.
Yeah, and we didn't. We went on. The forecasters. Yeah, until now, and you know what the good thing is. Even if the statute of limitations is not off, they don't know where we did it at and what. So, you know, hey, I think that's good. The forecasters are calling for snow here Friday and Saturday. And like always, when the word snow pops up, all of KC is in a panic. You have that scared gazelle look that's running from a lion.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more. Sub-zero temperatures to boot. Yay. So, I have a challenge, Rob. All the pajama-wearing youngsters, you know, they wear their PJs out in this bitter cold, and I will have a huge respect for them. But if they don't, then I do not. If they really mean what they do, and this casual look that they love so much, I dare you to wear those flimsy fucking things in that 30 below weather that we're going to have. And if you do that, I will salute you.
I guarantee you, you run into them in the store, you rip them down, there's another pair underneath.
Yeah, you know what, you're right.
Maybe three layers.
You know
maybe
what?
Three layers.
They probably have long johns underneath or something, and it'll look like they're wearing their PJs, but actually they have long johns under. You're right. So, earlier today, I was in Pigwich when I saw the Coke dispenser repair guy's tools on the table next to me. And in this little bag of tools, he had a hand drill. So someone appeared to have had a little giggle on the contractor. On his handheld drill was a tomato complete with a dab of mayo. I'm sitting over there giggling, going, someone fucked with him. So he was like in the bathroom or something. He goes back. I received my cornflake chicken sandwich, which is fucking phenomenal.
It was not you.
It was not me, but the cornflake chicken sandwich is so good. It's deep fried chicken sandwich made out of cornflake, smashed cornflakes. Oh, it's so good. And it's really juicy. It's good. And it's made out of dark meat, which is really good. And
oh, I love dark meat.
Oh, it's so good. And so I unwrapped the sandwich, and normally it has two slices of tomato, but this time they only had one. So the fountain dispenser guy, he came back, and he looked at his drill and then shot me a dirty look. And the problem is, I couldn't defend myself because I would have looked guilty. I could have said, yeah, I noticed over there that you had a tomato and mayo on your drill. You're going to think I did it, but I didn't. You would think I did it, right? You'd be like, oh, fuck you. You're just having fun. You know, you're just rubbing it in. So I had to sit there, and I did what any other rational thing would do is I grabbed my sandwich, I smiled, wished him a good day, walked off and went and ate it up at the City Market Coffee with a Cubano.
There you go.
Yeah, so. So I'm going to go on to something completely different here, Rob. A new study revealed that one reason podcasts are so popular is that 90% of younger people running errands in a car will actually stay in their car driving around extra just to have alone time. And of that 90%, 57% of them listen to podcasts while driving alone. Yeah, I do that with music a lot. You know, I take the long way home.
I always have.
Yeah, me too.
Back in the day,
mm-hmm.
when I listened to radio stations, which actually I've been listening to 93.5 out of Osage Beach lately.
You know, I've been listening to radio more too. I was listening to 101 The Fox on the way home, and they were playing some pretty good stuff. And I kind of miss the live DJs, local, and all that. So
yeah, I could get 101 too. Also.
Oh yeah, that's kind of.
Lately, I've been streaming stuff. You know,
the tower's out of Harrisonville, Missouri, so it's quite a bit closer to you than like the Rock that's in Leavenworth.
Oh, no, I pick it up on TuneIn.
Oh, okay, that's a great way to get it. Yeah.
And actually, I can pick up 93.5 all the way from here to there because it's out of Osage Beach. I work in Canton.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I could pick 93.5 up all the way in my truck.
Oh, that's cool.
But I still kick it on my tune in and run it through my radio, through my stereo.
Because it sounds better.
Yeah, it's much clearer, no static, because, you know, you got your areas where
well, you get in the hills, and even FM doesn't work that well. Like Eureka Springs, they have a couple of good stations there. I spoke about one of them last summer, but they have some really good stations there. But the problem is it dips in the valleys. You just can't get very good signal.
Right.
And so I found their online outlet.
I only have one spot between here and there where I lose service, and it's only for about maybe 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, you got Verizon.
It's right back in.
Yep, you got Verizon. Yep.
Yeah.
So yesterday on the way home, it was April Wine's greatest hits.
Yes.
Oh, you talk about some cool shit, man. April Wine, they will never get the credit they deserve.
FYI, me and Princess have already penciled it in. We're going to sit down tomorrow night and buy our tickets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've already penciled that in for tomorrow night.
So okay.
You know, I get home and kind of jump in the studio. So.
Okay. All right. I found a really nice plasma cutter on Marketplace. I'm trying to get a hold of the guy to possibly buy it. I'd love to have a secondary hobby, like making creations out of old metal barn siding. I first got this idea. There's this guy selling artistic signs he made with a plasma cutter and old metal buildings, like old barns. And it was at the World Market in Nashville. And I took a bunch of pictures to where I can kind of get the whole idea of the framework of what I want to do. So the guy took the old metal siding and cut them into different designs. All was original. I think I might buy the plasma cutter on eBay. We'll see. But if I do, I'll send you a picture of it and everything, because I know that you know a lot about plasma cutters like I do. And the thing I want to know is if it's like a welder and you have to have that heavier current. To make it work better.
Ours at work, we just plug it in, round it, and it does its thing.
Yeah, yeah. And is it 220 or 240 or 120? Because I know some of them.
I'm thinking ours is 120.
Okay. All right. Okay. Even 240 I could do. But if it goes up into the fours, you know, the really heavy duty ones, I can't do.
That's bigger than home use.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But that works good on 120 then?
Ours is a Miller.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Miller.
It's a good little plasma cutter.
The blue box that rocks is what they call that. Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like Lincolns. Lincolns are really good too. Lincolns and Millers.
Yeah.
Millers, you can get the smaller, compact ones.
They're plasma cutters. I've used their welders.
Their welders are good too. I like both of them. I think I like Miller a little bit better. They're more portable. They make them smaller. Lincolns are into the really big ones that are hard to transport. So I'm going to go on from that. So I'll let you know as it progresses. We'll see. So Coca-Cola has new Crocs out, more than $70 for just a mere $70. You too can look like a complete dumb shit. Just letting you know, I'm waiting on the Coke butt plugs myself. That should make great. Oh yeah, go
honestly, ahead. I know somebody that'll probably buy a pair
of the Crocs, the Coke Crocs.
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. I wish they'd make regular.
He calls himself Coke Man.
I don't know if that's a pretty. I don't know if that's a pretty good moniker to go by or not. But okay.
Well, you got to know him.
Okay. Then maybe it is well earned. So, Okay, so $70, you look like a complete dumb shit as well. I'm waiting on the butt plugs, like I said, but you know, that would make great stocking stuffers or even be purchased for birthday gifts. A little Coca-Cola butt plug, right? Yeah, all right. And you know what? I made a thing of, I made a little conscious thing earlier. I was going to say the word butt plug probably 10 times on this program just to do it. I think I'm at 6.
Dude, you're close.
I'm close. All right. Well, a Missouri man is accused of running an elaborate scheme involving unsuspecting car buyers on Facebook Marketplace. Mama Do, I'm not kidding you, that's his name, or Mama Doe. I would say it's Mama Doe. Diallo, 24, now faces 14 felony charges after allegedly defrauding at least 8 victims out of more than $24,000, Jackson County Prosecutor Melissa Johnson announced Tuesday. Court records show that Diallo is charged with 6 counts of first-degree tampering with a motor vehicle and 8 counts of forgery. If convicted on all counts, Diallo could face up to 98 years in prison. Between May and June, listen to this, Rob, this is a kicker. Between May and June 2025, the Kansas City Police Department said it received 8 stolen vehicle reports that followed a similar pattern. In each case, investigators indicated that victims purchased a vehicle through Facebook Marketplace from a seller using an online alias, that seller was later identified as Diallo. After completing the sales in person, police noted that Diallo provided what appeared to be legitimate titles and bills of sale. Shortly after the transaction, law enforcement officials said each buyer reported their newly purchased vehicle is stolen. So you see what he did here, Rob? Do you see what he did?
I know exactly what he did.
He would sell them the car. Then he would sneak back around the same day and steal the fucking thing back and sell it again. What a dick.
Yeah, I got that story right here.
Oh, damn it. Okay. Well, sorry. Didn't mean to steal it from you.
No, you're good, dude. You're good. Yeah. Yeah, dude, that story had to get out there. It didn't matter what news you were being.
That one cracked me up so bad. I was like, "That's going to be on the front. That's going to be front page." Oh, by the way, the guy, I forgot your name, that keeps fucking bothering me about more police blotter stuff. I got 5 more new police blotters. Okay, so please back up. You're going to hear at least one of them on this show right here, if not two. All right, I'm glad you love them, but leave me the hell alone. I have other things.
Police update myself, so,
you know. So there you go. You're going to get a 3 or 2 for 1 or something. So whatever your name is, back up. So, all right.
We love talking about stupid criminals.
We do it all the time. And I don't know why the blotter section is just, like, so fascinating. You know what? No. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you.
Actually, I like listening to that kind of stuff, too.
Okay.
I really do.
Well, I appreciate your interest, and you're a little pushy, but not being a dick. So thank you, whoever you are. Please keep listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll do our best to get more out there for you.
Yeah. Well, I got 5 more, but I have like 30 in the back burner. I just don't have time. Well, you know that, Rob. I mean, you know, right now...
Oh, yeah, I know all of that time.
I'm refinishing the floors. I'm painting the house. I mean, I've got, like I said, I've got a 20-year project here. So, you know.
Oh, me too.
I could pay someone to do it.
I got a building. I got to pretty much totally rebuild and remodel just so Princess can have a shop to start her business.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Right here in our driveway, so that's a good thing. I don't have to go far to work on it.
Okay. And finally, I got another little story here. Okay, Rams players put a bizarre food in their socks to keep warm, but does it actually work? Below freezing temperatures and blustery winds aren't pleasant for anyone, but they were especially brutal for the LA Rams, who are accustomed to warm and sunny weather. In case anyone didn't know, the temperature is like 8 degrees when they played the Bears in Chicago. and they're from Los Angeles. It's no surprise that some team players turned to an unusual and spicy tactic to stay warm during Sunday's frigid overtime playoff game against the Bears in Chicago. The hot trick up their sleeves, they put cayenne pepper in their socks. Rams nose tackle Puna Ford, or whatever his name is, showed off his yellow and orange tinted sock after the game and assured that it helps. The unconventional method seems to give the Rams an extra kick as they won their thriller on a 42-yard field goal by kicker Harrison Mevis. What is the science behind it? Cayenne does pack a beneficial punch beyond just warding off a modern-day cold. The spicy pepper has been shown to improve circulation and blood flow throughout the body. This is thanks to a compound called capsaicin, which is what gives the red pepper its signature spicy, moderately hot flavor. And I can tell you this. For a while, I went out with a massage therapist a long time ago, and she used to put cayenne pepper in her oil. And she swore by it, and I could tell a difference. And she said it gets your blood to flowing and moving better and all that. And she was the first person I ever see do that. But now it's a lot more common. But I could tell a difference because when she didn't put it in, I didn't get nearly the same effect. So I do know that it works. And this is just, you know, getting a massage. And real quick... speaking of massages, I'm telling you what, man, I'm getting so tired of business in America anymore. This is just a personal thing I'm adding on here. I'm sorry, but it's fucking irritating. Okay. I told everybody a few podcasts ago how my doctor is going to a more private practice, and her and some other doctors are getting together and decided there are, instead of 3,000 office visits a year, they're going to only do like 500 patients. A much smaller scale. Okay, but the catch is you have to pay $2,400 per year. So I get regular massages. I have arthritis, and I had a very hard, very physical job for years, and it's taken its toll. You know, look, it paid well. I got to see all parts of the country and everything. It was good, but it took its toll on me because I'm putting in heavy glass. Okay, so up and down stairs, balconies, all that cool shit. So, I took and got a MedFlex card, and I was like, you know what, I'm doing this all wrong. I can get this not taxed by doing a MedFlex card and paying for my massages with my MedFlex card, okay? All right, no problem, great. Okay, so all of a sudden, the massage place calls back today. Hey, we got a problem with your MedFlex card. Okay, what is it? Well, it won't go through. Okay, well, let me check on that. So I call up the people responsible for the card, and they said, yeah, they said, you need a letter of medical necessity, which I'd forgotten because I'd done it before with my MedFlex card. You have to have that. Yeah. Well, like I said, my new doctor's going to this private practice, but not till February 13th. So I called yesterday and informed them that I needed this letter. I said, you can email it to me. If you need money for it, let me know. I'll pay you. All right. Yeah, I'm not trying to get by on your guys. I just need this so I can start paying for it with this card that I loaded up with money. So they had their new service. I'm not going to say the name of it, but it's their new concierge service. Call me back with no information at all. So I go, all right. I go, yeah. I go, how am I going to get this letter of necessity? Oh, I don't know about that. Well, why'd you call back? Well, you left a message. Yeah, did you listen to the message? It has this thing on here to call you back, and we figured you'd tell us. I said, I needed you guys to do something. I needed you guys to get a hold of the doctor and tell her that I need this letter of necessity. Should not be a big deal, okay? So the lady goes, well, you're going to have to call the doctor's office. Hang on, let me see if I can get the number. She gets the number and the exact same number I have, which I called a couple of times. So I'm like, okay, motherfucker. All right. So I call back there. I leave a message. Nothing. Crickets. So what I'm going to tell them if I don't get a reply by tomorrow is I'm going to call up. I'm going to leave a long, detailed message about how they want to charge $2,400 a fucking year but can't even get me a letter of necessity. I'm going to tell you what. I don't think I'm going to join that service. I think it's not fucking worth it. It's pissing me off.
Actually, naturally, what I think I would do is I would take the time off work to walk up in there.
That's what Val said.
I'm taking off work to do this because we cannot get this done.
You see, I'm off Friday. Yeah. I could walk in Friday and do that, and I'm going to.
There you go.
I'm going to say, hey, I had to take off work.
But still telling you to off work. Yeah.
No, I'm going to. And then I'm going to let them know. I'm going to say, you know, you want me to join your service. You have given me no reason to. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, and this is how you treat me?
Yeah. So that $2,400 a year, I think I'm going to buy something with it. It's not going to go in your pocket at all.
Yeah.
And then
I'll buy a different doctor.
500 times 2,400 a year. 500 times that is well over $1 million. Well over $1 million, okay? With that type of service, you think someone would fucking get right back to me. So, I'm going to give them some grace. They're switching over right now to the new thing that they're doing. But if I don't hear back from them tomorrow, I'm in there Friday, and I'm giving them a little peace of my mind, but friendly. Because I like them, but I'm letting them know.
I hate to burst your bubble. It's roughly $125,000.
Is it?
$24,000
times, or $2,400 times 500.
Times 500.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was times 5.
It's cool. It's cool. That's not the point of it. I did the. It's fine. All right, Rob.
Wow.
Let's. Yeah. Over $1.5 million. And already I'm getting service like this? No. That's fine. You know what? I need to join St. Luke's team anyhow because my cardiologist and all my other doctors were St. Luke's. It'd just be easier if I went to one of their general practices. And they
commuted. That's where I was born.
St. Luke's? Really?
Yeah.
On the plaza?
Yeah. Oh. Pennsylvania.
Yep. Okay. All right. Cool. I was born
1969. My mom drove me home to a racial riot.
Oh wow!
We lived in an apartment down on Rush Creek.
Oh wow! Interesting.
We lived downstairs, and my grandma lived upstairs in an apartment building.
Oh, very
Rush
cool.
Rush Creek. Them buildings aren't there no more. I used to be able to drive by and see them all the time, man.
I was born on Lakeside Hospital, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
And that's on Troost. Rob, let's turn it over to you because we're well into this show and we haven't gotten to you yet, so please.
Okay, well, I'm going to cover two at once. I'm going to cover some stupid criminals and some Lake Area news.
Sounds great to me.
In a quick one.
Okay.
At least three people have future court dates in Camden County after allegedly stealing 22 Carhartt fleece beanies worth just under $500 from an Osage Beach retailer and then leading officers on a high-speed pursuit which came to an end in Cole County. Which is Jefferson City. An hour away,
yep.
Wait till you hear this part. Oh,
okay.
I love this part.
Right. Okay.
Probable cause statements filed alleged that there were four individuals in the Chevy HHR, which swerved in and out of traffic, reaching speeds between 100 and 120 miles an hour, and striking a spike strip deployed in Cole County by the Highway Patrol.
Okay.
They're doing 100, 120.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. 54. Come on.
Yeah.
But hey, at least they got stopped.
Yeah, that is good.
Okay. And this happened in Osage Beach, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
The four were taken to Camden County with 19-year-olds Cameron Cohen and Maverick Ruff, both from Jefferson City, are now formally charged with misdemeanor stealing, along with Javon Washington from Kansas City.
Okay.
Cohen also picked up a felony for aggravated fleeing.
Good.
Ruff is being held on a $10,000 bond, while Washington was issued a summons and Cohen has no bond.
No bond. I love that.
Okay. Yeah, I love that word, no bond.
Yeah, I do too. They need more of that.
I mean, just the high-speed pursuit alone. For under $500 stolen merchandise.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Go ahead and take your lumps. You'll get out of it. Now you're going to have hard time getting out of it.
I mean, come on. What are the gangsters trying to do here? There were 22 car police beanies like we would wear.
Yeah.
Are they trying to portray like they're working people like us?
No, I don't think they'd have any use for working people like us. I don't know why they would want to even act like
that. Well, no. They want to sell the beanies to people that
yes.
want to look
that
like
really
they
really do
work.
The people that really do work for a living. Yes, that's true.
No, they're selling the ones that want to look like they work, but they don't.
Oh, okay, I got you. You know what?
The ones that wear the brand new work boots.
Yes, I got what you're saying now.
All the time, yeah.
Yep.
It's just high-speed pursuit for an hour.
That is what
$500 for the beanies.
That is what I call completely stupid. Completely. You know, there's kind of stupid and there's moderately stupid. That person is just so stupid that there's no backing out of it. You know, that's just the way it is.
Oh, no, there's like three or four. Yeah, it says four people, but they only talk about three of them. So,
well, they're all dumb shits. So.
Yeah, they are. And now they're sending Camden County. So.
Okay. All right, did you have one more? You said you had a couple, or is that it?
Oh, no, that's for that. Well, I got more later.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Work.
Okay, later on.
Yeah, we're rushing for break, so.
Yeah, we got to get to it. It's like 36 minutes into it. Okay, we're going to take our first break, and then we're going to come right back, and we are going to have some emails.
Sounds good.
All right.
Toto Steve Lukather said that Michael Jackson's Beat It was almost ruined by Eddie Van Halen. Steve Lukather has explained that the issue wasn't Eddie Van Halen's solo itself, but that Eddie and his engineer, Don Landy, edited the master tape and messed up the time code, which was crucial for syncing other tracks. This forced Lukather and drummer Jeff Porcano to meticulously recreate the song's backing tracks from scratch, using the faint bleed of the drums in Michael Jackson's vocal track and reestablishing the rhythm.
This is Phineas J. Baltar S. III. That has been your music news for this evening. I have one burning question for you all. Do people really skip around the Maypole?
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
I can't believe the coffee grinders broke at the big box store. There's no way I can be expected to grind my coffee beans every damn morning.
Strange, but true.
The atom bomb's effect on Hiroshima had many different levels, but one of them that was very odd was the Hiroshima survivors developed deformed fingernails with blood vessels that bled heavily when broken.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
This is the origin of Rob Rad's loincloth. Rob used to strip in a nightclub called McCox on the city's east side. Rob was the only completely nude dancer at the club. The other dancers were jealous of Rob making all the cash and made him use a loincloth to dance with. Rob soon had to wear his loincloth daily. He found out that he could get out of traffic tickets, sell vinyl siding, and pick up hotties at the come and go. Rob now wears his loincloth everywhere except work. Sparks plus pubic hair equals to bad things.
Jammed X. What the hell happened? You were the generation of change. You never wanted to be one of them. Apathy spoke for you. Muck the man. Muck the system. What the hell happened? The generation of angst, the generation of noncompliance, is now buying a boat? You're really fed up until someone dangled a dollar near you. Great job, Xers. Everything's ruined.
Hey, you Yankers. We often think many things are just true because we've heard it our whole lives. That's why, here at Two Douchebags and Microphone, we developed the segment, Not True. We investigate and uncover the real truths of what happened.
We've heard for years that Einstein was so intelligent he could not figure out how to tie his shoe. The fact is, he disliked wearing socks. He would put socks over his shoes to avoid tying them. He believed tying shoelaces was an incredible waste of time. So were Crocs when Einstein needed them.
So you want proof that we love you here at Q Douchebags and Microphone Central? Here's a proof right here. How about the drink of the week?
Pistachio martini seems in order. Start off with 2 ounces vanilla vodka, 1 ounce pistachio liqueur, 1 ounce heavy cream, 1/2 ounce simple syrup, 1 ounce of heavy cream chill martini glass in freezer for 10 minutes. Dip the chilled glass rim in the simple syrup, then rub the rim in crushed pistachios. Fill a cocktail shaker with the vodka, liqueur, heavy cream, and simple syrup in the shaker. Shake vigorously, then strain the contents into the glass. You may garnish the rim of the martini glass with a sliced lemon and an olive, possibly. Drink up, bitches.
And now we look in on the adventures of the technical explanation guy.
Why, excuse me, my dear sir. Could you please direct me to the nearest self-employed person in a motorized vehicle that will transport me where I ask them to in exchange for money and a tip?
Do you mean an Uber ride?
Well, yes. Yes, I do mean an Uber ride.
Then just say an Uber ride, you dumb motherfucker. And why are you constantly following me around asking me stupid questions? Fucking idiot.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So let me see. Let's say I was offended by people being offended. Then would people being offended all the time would have to not be offended around me because I was offended by them being offended? I may never know.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
You look so familiar. Didn't we have a class together? I could have swore we had chemistry.
Sir, I see your qualifications here. I have some further questions that could help me determine your employment eligibility.
Yes, sir, I'm ready.
Well, as you can see here, we have a large population of different ethnic backgrounds, sexuality, and ages. Are you by chance bilingual?
Well, sir, I'm not sure why you need that kind of information, but, well, it was only one time in summer camp. I considered it experimental.
Have I ever told you about my prank phone call deal that I used to do?
No.
Phone booth? Well, this was the old Quick Trip in Belvedere, the one right off the highway, right off of 71 or 49 or whatever, mm-hmm. at 155th Street, down there in that little pit there, right off the exit ramp. There used to be a Quick Trip.
And one day I'm like in there getting a soda or some shit, right? And I noticed the phone rang. Is this probably a drug deal or something?
Yeah.
And some guy jumps out of his car and starts answering. I'm like, huh, I didn't know those things had numbers. Not only did I not know they have numbers, I didn't realize that people fucking answer them.
Yeah, the idea of calling into a payphone didn't occur to me until I saw someone do it on a TV show. I was like, what?
Yeah, you can do that? You can do that? Yeah. I thought it's just one way. You got on there and said, hey, I'm down here at the Quick Trip, man. Whenever you want to come down, you know, I got the pet cage and the rubbers, you know, whatever. So, I walk over there and I get a pen from the guy in the Quick Trip and wrote down the numbers. There's like three of them, and they're like, you know, in a little semicircle. And back in the days, I mean, like you mentioned the other day, how nasty that was.
Yeah.
Some guy get up there and start spitting all over the phone, talking, and then you go pick it up right after.
Yep. Jam it right up to the hole in your face that you eat through.
Yeah. Now when I think about it, I cringe. So anyhow, it's probably a dirt bag from Belvedere anyhow, with no teeth, you know, fuck. So, I get these numbers down, and one day I'm over at my friend Davey's and we're bored. I go, hey man, I got something we can do. What's that? See these three numbers? Yeah. There's a number to the payphones in Belvedere Quick Trip. Oh, really? Let's just call up and fuck with people. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, you know, we call up, and the first time, it took a long time. I don't think anyone was there. Someone answered, hello. Hey, you know this is payphone? I go, hey, you know, you're a dickhead. You know, just start screwing with them. Go, yeah, you're a piece of shit, man. Hey, you know who I got right next to me? Who? Your mom. And, you know, people get pissed off. Fuck you, bitch, and all this stuff. So, we call them up and harass them. People get so fucking mad. You know, we get them so mad, they threaten to kill us. They're going to come over. And we're like, well, you're going to kill me when you don't know where I'm at, bitch. You know, this is in maybe early 90s at the most, late 80s, whatever, somewhere in that time frame. And, I mean, it was just, I mean, we had nothing else to do. So we'd call up and just get people so mad. Davey used to do this farmer impression. And he used to tell the guy that his fucking goats were in his yard, and he was mad. Or, you fucking cattle trampled my fucking sheep, you bitch. I don't have no farm. Yeah, you do, you son of a bitch. I know this is you, Mr. Johnson. You get your ass over here, and you get my dead fucking sheep, and you better fucking bury it. If you don't, I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to slap the stupid out of you, and that's going to take all day, because you're pretty fucking stupid. And he would just keep railing on him, and the people get so mad and argue about, I don't have a farm. I ain't got no farm, you dumb son of a bitch. And he would just keep going, ain't got no farm, you dumb son of a bitch. And these people get so mad. So, one day I'm over there, I'm like, you know, it's starting to get boring. People get mad, then they hang up. Then a lot of people just go, fuck you, you know, and hang up. The smarter ones do.
Yeah.
And although I question them answering a payphone. And everyone goes, you know this is a payphone, don't you? You know, it's like, okay.
I heard that one before.
All right, hang on. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, what do you do? I noticed there's a White House right behind there. So, anyhow, I'm like, okay, all right. Everyone always wants to know where I live at. I guess I'm going to live in that White House right behind the payphone. So, anyhow, you know, most people are just kind of like, they hang up and they don't want to go to that White House. This one guy that I was fucking with just constantly going, hey, you piece of shit, man. Yeah, you just don't sound right without a dick in your mouth. You sound completely different. Hey, you ball gargler, and all this stuff, man. You smell like chode. And this guy's just getting fucking madder than him. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Where you at? And I go, you want to know where I'm at, bitch? Yeah. Now, over there. Look to your left. Oh, no, not that left. The other left, moron. Okay, you see that left? Over there? See that White House? Ooh, I'm right here, motherfucker. I'm looking out the window. I'm waiting for your fucking fat ass to come beat me up. I'm gonna smack the stupid out of you, and I'm going to do it in front of everybody. I'm going to call people over to watch me smack the fuck out of you. And this guy's getting mad. Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm going to fucking kill you, man. And I'm pretty sure the guy went over there. He was so mad. So he was so mad that he didn't even completely hang up. I heard it go click, and then it fell on the ground. So he didn't look back or nothing. And anyhow, I hear a car peeling out. So I don't know about that guy in that White House, but I'm pretty sure he got into a pretty good fight.
Anyhow, she looked at the police blotter the next day. Man in White House beaten to death by outraged hillbilly.
There wasn't an internet, so it was like one of those deals where I had to wait for one of those little regional magazines, you know, like the South Side or whatever, Grandview Circle or whatever, the Grandview Dick Smack or whatever. You know, one of those stupid little fucking mags to come out. South Side Idiot, whatever. So, hey, I never did find out, you know, and I didn't want to know. I was afraid someone might have got killed in that whole scuff up, you know, but yeah.
Could be.
It was at the hands of entertainment, so I justified it.
Yeah.
So.
Were you briefly entertained?
Oh, I was entertained for a while. I mean, there especially the guys that just continue to get mad and just continue to try to insult you and one-up you without a brain.
Yeah.
And you continue, like, Davey just roll over so many insults on him. And they just keep getting madder and madder and go, oh, yeah, fuck you. Oh, my God, you got me. Yeah. Oh, you went to the F-bomb. Oh, someone get me some iced tea. Oh, my God. Oh, the pain, you know. And anyhow, so the finality was I was calling down there. And this is later. I got bored with it, and I went back to it. And this chick answers. And I started saying something, you know, just started blathering some sort of shit to try to piss her off. She goes, Mark Wallace.
Oops.
Who is this? This is Danielle. Oh, fuck. What are you doing calling a payphone? Long story. Hey, she busted me. Yeah. That was the last time I called. I'm like, fuck, man. That's it, man.
Sign no fun God anymore.
It's done. Yep. Cancel Christmas.
Yeah.
Pharmacy's closed. Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark here in the Kansas City area at the Talk Is Cheap studio.
And I am Rob in Wheatland, Missouri, home of the magnificent Lucas Oil Speedway and Water Track, and also home of HMO Country Store, where you can find all your needs, including a selfie with the Sinclair Dinosaur. In the Duck Barn studio.
What? All right. Thank you, Rob. You're doing awesome. You're doing great. You get a lot of compliments, and, well, I do too. We both do. And I just don't mention them because it sounds like we're propping ourselves, but we would like to thank everybody that appreciates what we do.
Yes, here. Yes.
So, all right. First one. Oh, speaking of someone appreciating us, we'll see. All right. Mark, just tell the friends right off. I do not do group chats. End of story. I did and have never been bothered again. I would still like to kick Mark in the nuts. Mitch, the guy formerly known as Mitchell. Mitch is back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Mitch.
Welcome back, Mitchell. I want to kick you in the nuts, too, so we're even. But until then, my nuts are on notice. They know you're lurking.
And I want to videotape you two kicking each other in the nuts. So, hey, we're all good.
All right, okay. Mitch, thanks for coming back. We appreciate it. I'm sorry about way back then, but you did try to screw a chick in someone else's car. You did deserve it. I didn't know you were going to run out in the field with a fucking boner, okay? I'm sorry. That's the price of doing business in today's world. That's the way it is. So
that's why he has the problem with you and not me.
Yes, it is. It is. And he has a bigger problem, probably, because I brought it up on the show. Mitch, love you. Keep it coming. All right.
Yes, love you, Mitch.
And I really do. Mitch was a cool guy. Was he not cool?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I like hanging around Mitch. I would love... When I'm up there, I would love to see. I would.
Yeah, and I'm also trying to... Ronnie in Tulsa, I don't think he's going to be able to make it up anytime soon. But I want to meet Ronnie really bad, too. He's royalty as well.
Yes.
So, anyhow. All right. Dudes,
You guys are onto something. I find your show more entertaining than anything I could find on the dial or the internet. George in Philly. Number one, I can't believe someone in Philadelphia likes us, how much we make fun of Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. But, George, thank you. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you an option of something different. If it's your humor, you're going to love it. If it's not your humor, you're going to hate it. There's no ways about it. You either like it or you don't. You don't kind of listen to it or nothing. You either like this humor or you don't. And that's one of the things I like about it is, if you like it, you're going to love it. If you don't like it, you're never going to listen to it again, and you're going to hate us. Agreed?
Agreed. And one of our mottos is, we are trying to get your mind off everything going on in the world.
Yes. It is a release. And I feel sorry for the people, and some of them I know, that don't understand that. And think we're immature or we're doing something wrong for doing a podcast like this or something. I feel sorry for those people. They lost their fun in life. For real. And I'm not going to mention any names. We went through some of them. Okay? You guys have lost your sense of fun in this world. Why are you here? I'm not saying kill yourself. Nothing like that. What I'm saying is, if you lost the ability to enjoy yourself, you're miserable. So, anyhow, I could go on a lot more on this, but I'm not. All right. Rob, will you sign my loincloth, please? Wesley in Chapel Hills, I guess, North Carolina. Will you?
Come to Missouri. I'll meet you.
How about if you mail it? Mail it to him.
Yeah, mail it to me. I'll sign it. I'll send it back.
He'll even send you an autographed poster of him in his loincloth while he's knitting with his toes. But his free balling has to be blotched out per regulation, so it's going to be scrambled. You're not going to be able to see his stuff. So, all right, Mark, do you believe in post-defecation euphoria? Yes, I do. You take a good dump, you feel great, don't you?
Yes.
I think it's real. I don't know why Samantha Paducah asked me that, but how about if I have new guy explain it a little bit later? We're not ready for another break yet, but when we go to break next time, new guy will explain post-defecation euphoria. That sound fair, Rob?
Oh, he's gonna hate.
He's already. Did you hear the last one? Oh, he is a dick. Yeah. Well, new guy, he's already fucking flipping me off and walking off. Ah, well, you know what? Hey, new guy, if you don't do it, I got a guy down the road that says he's going to do it for tube socks. So fuck you. Oh, that got his attention. All right. Mark, I'm having a dinner party this Saturday. This is for wealthy business owners for the purpose of getting investors for a new project in the energy sector. I need to know, should I serve? And he wants your opinion too, or at least it said Mark, but I'm pretty sure he wants both our opinions. So I'm going to have you give your opinion too. So, garlic steak or prime rib? What should be the main course? Ronald Dozer, upstate New York. I'm going to say garlic steak because I like it much better than prime rib. What about you?
Actually, yeah, I would lean more towards the garlic steak too. Honestly, I mean, I love a good prime rib.
I do too.
I would lean more towards the garlic steak.
I think so too. I think more people would be more impressed with garlic steak. A really good garlic steak is a work of art. So if you're going to make them dinner, make sure and get a good recipe and do it exactly like it says. And make sure that you serve probably with that garlic steak. Would you say maybe asparagus? Maybe grilled asparagus in butter?
Yeah. Asparagus.
A really nice, good garden salad with romaine and other types of lettuce, the fancier lettuce, no iceberg. Probably the tomato grapes and grated, real grated cheese. Don't buy the stuff in the pack.
buy your cheese and grate it yourself. And then the cheese, I like feta cheese on my salads, but not everybody does. I mean, feta cheese is goat cheese.
The cheese is your choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for dessert, I'm going to say key lime pie. What do you say? Even though he didn't ask all that.
I'm not a key lime.
Okay. All right. What do you think? How about...
I don't know.
How about like a peanut butter souffle or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you got to know who you're talking to because you got people with peanut allergies these days.
Ooh. Okay. Rob,
so
you know what?
Okay. Watch what you do.
Okay. So you got to make
I don't
a...
know.
Oh, I know it. Okay. Okay, here's what you do. Okay, you come up.
I would have to get to know the person a little bit personally to find out. That would give me more of a clue.
Here's my thought, Rob. Here's my thought. When you do the desserts, you have one sugar-free option and you have one loaded with sugar. Does that sound good? Yes. And that will impress these people, too. It's like, man, this guy's thoughtful. He came up with something that someone that might be wanting to lose weight or diabetic. It's like, no problem. We got them both.
Yeah, and especially if you're trying to make an impact.
Yes. Know? Yep. So, Ronald Dozer, upstate New York, thank you very much. I like that question. What do you think?
I like it, yeah. Very good question.
Yeah, that wasn't smart ass or nothing. I do believe that the guy was real.
It was actually, kind of shows our sophistication, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How much of it is there, I don't know, but it did. So, no, you know what? I mean, look, we do dumb stuff. It doesn't mean we're dumb. We do dumb stuff. So, there's a difference. There's a definite difference. We do dumb stuff for impact. Other people do dumb stuff because they don't know better. Okay. And also, our dumb stuff is harmless. A lot of dumb stuff is very harmful. So, anyhow, I'm getting on something else. All right. Finally, Mark, did you say the Dr. Pepper Museum offers the original Dr. Pepper formula for purchase? Was it just soda fountains or bottles and cans? Ross in Dallas. Ross, thank you. That's amazing. How long ago did I mention that? The Dr. Pepper Museum? Maybe 2 years ago?
Quite a while, yeah.
It was quite a while ago. So Ross, well, we know Ross has been listening for a while because he's been emailing off and on, but now it's been regular for like the last couple of months. But Ross has been, he's been an original guy. He's an OG. He's from way back. And Ross, okay, to answer your question... It was sold only by 12 packs in bottles. These are 8-ounce bottles. And this was in the mid-90s. You know, so I don't know. They might have them in cans. They might have them in different ways now. But you have to buy them by the 12 packs back then. And they're in little 8-ounce bottles. And it says on there, it has a completely different label. And it says, like, this is the original. None of the other ones say that. Because they use imperial sugar and all that. But the original one, the only difference between the other original one that isn't quite the original is the kind that they mass produce and sell in specialty shows, not shows, but stores, they do not contain artesian well water. The stuff in Waco, Texas is the actual original formula. There's like four ingredients in it. And one of them is artesian well water, and that's what makes the whole difference, besides the imperial cane sugar. So, 12 packs by the bottles, but I'm betting they have a different way of doing it now. I bet you they have them in cans now, so, but I don't know. And if you're driving there because you're from Dallas, about halfway to Waco from Dallas, there is a Texas Ranger Museum off of I-35E. That's the way you go to Waco from Dallas. Okay, or no, Doe. No, W, West. I-35 splits off. One's E, one's W. One's for East, one's for West. I-35W takes you to Waco. And halfway there, there's a Texas Ranger Museum. I highly suggest you go there if you haven't already. So, make it a couple of day event is what I'm saying. So, all right.
Actually, if I'm thinking right, I'm thinking Tulsa King visited there.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. He did say that.
Didn't he mention something about that?
I don't know if he did or not. I visited the museum. He very possibly could have said. You know what? I think you're right. I think he did.
And was talking to you about it. Yeah.
I think you're right. Okay. Well, that's just another.
I may be wrong, Tulsa King, but I was thinking so.
Ronnie, send us a message. Let us know. But I think you're right, Rob. Now that you're saying that, I think you're right. Okay, we're way late on our second break. Do you want to take that and then come back with some of your stuff?
Yeah, let's take a second break. And then we'll come back with Rob's bag of garbage.
There you go. But first, a new guy. Get over here, bitch. Explain.
Oh,
post-defecation euphoria. And do it with a smile. That's better, dick. All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is a new guy, and these two dimwits want me to explain post-defecation euphoria, also known as poophoria. It is a real feeling of calm, relief, or even happiness after a bowel movement caused by the vagus nerve stimulation, which triggers relaxation signals, dropping heart rate and blood pressure, creating a sense of well-being or lightheadedness. It's a normal psychological response involving nerve signals, pressure release, and activation of the body's rest and digest state, often felt after a satisfyingly complete bowel movement. That's funny. I get the same sensation when these two fuckwads end the show. So I guess two douchebags and microphone podcast is just like taking a dump. Fuckheads.
When I was with that band, I wasn't drinking, so when we play drinking games, I'd have to drink this water. Which is, not really much of a game, because half the game is watching everyone get drunk, and they have to take a drink or whatever.
It gives you a one-up, though. You see stupid shit happening, yeah. And other people don't identify with it, because they're smashed.
Yeah.
But well, then it'd be fun or smashed, because you'd be like, ah!
Yeah. Well, they came up with a variation for me, since, instead of drinking alcohol, I was drinking water. They made the exception is I could not get up. I couldn't leave the circle to go pee. Everyone else could. But, since I wasn't getting hammered on water, then my punishment was I couldn't pee.
that's a pretty...
Yeah. That lasted for a while, and I was like, okay, I voluntarily lose, quit, whatever, because I got to go pee right now.
Like that?
Yeah. Some of those drinking games went on way too long, and by the time we got back to the club to play that night... Some of us were still a little hammered.
A little residual leftover glaze.
Yes.
Been there, done that.
And then you got the choice, do I, if you're that person, you start the gig off and you're kind of wasted, do you just keep it going throughout the gig, or do you let yourself come down during the gig, and by the fourth set you're like, fuck this, I hate life, let me go.
I was talking to a guy at work similar to that. When I was younger, I used to have to decide, because we were out late one night having some beers and stuff, and I ended up leaving that place like 2:30 or something,
yeah.
Which is rare for me. Usually I've been asleep a long time. And a couple days later, I'm talking to him, and I go, when I was younger, I used to have that one moment where I had to stop for a second of what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
and go, all right, I got to be at work in 4 hours. Do I want to just ride this out, hurry mm-hmm. in, and try to sober up the last couple hours and go to work? Or do I want to shut this fucking thing down,
yep.
get 4 hours of sleep, and then go in there and go to work? And usually it was like, I'm just going to ride this thing through, and I'll sleep tomorrow, which I never did, because then all of a sudden a bunch of people show up. And anyhow, they'd be like, hey, come on, man, get in the car. We're going to go over to so-and-so's. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, And... usually take me 3 or 4 days to catch up, and then I'd have usually a Tuesday night.
But it seems like that would be the wiser choice, is to stay awake and ride it out. When I was in that situation...
Yeah, because you feel like shit, you know. You actually get about 3 hours or 2.5 hours sleep because you're forcing yourself to sleep, but you still want to party.
You get a little bit of bad sleep, bad quality sleep. When you wake up, your body is finally to the point where it wants to sleep, but now you have to wake up.
Yeah, when you get in that really deep sleep, you wake up.
Yeah. And then what's even worse is while you're asleep, you can't monitor your symptoms and take steps to counteract. Like, if you're dead asleep because you're half wasted.
No, you wake up where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, you may be so sick to your stomach that normally you'd wake up and do something about it, but you're sleeping so hard in those couple 3 hours that it just sits there and gets worse and worse.
You can, like,
by the time
down.
You wake up, you feel like total shit. Whereas if you stayed awake, you could treat those symptoms as they came up. You'd be more tired, but after the end of a couple hours, you're like, okay, I got my nausea under control, I got myself hydrated, I got some drops in my eyes. It usually worked out better because you had that time to start treating yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I would run into that, not necessarily because I was wasted, but just because I was tired. Some of those out-of-town gigs, I'd work all day Friday, drive out to, some hour and a half out of town, set up, play, tear down, and then I'd have to drive back to KC and get a little bit of sleep and go work Saturday. Because I worked a lot of Saturdays. And then when I was done with work, I'd have to load up, drive back to that little town where everybody else still was, and go play the second night. It was like, ugh, this sucks so hard. See, that's when I should have been freebasing coke or something. You know, that's when I needed all that energy. But, there I was trying to exist on coffee and cigarettes, and it just wasn't cutting it.
Hey, everybody, this is Uncle Rob. I'm going to give you some tips for life.
Record loud train noises on your phone. That way you wouldn't take any big dump in the public toilet. Up your phone, and bam, nobody hears.
Hello, this is Phineas J. Altaharis III. I'm here to deliver your music news this evening.
We have some sad news for everybody. Bob Weir, the co-founder and guitarist for The Grateful Dead, has passed away at the age of 78. Bob, we hope you're grateful. Because you are definitely dead. Rest in peace, Mr. Weir.
This is Phineas J. Baltaris III. That has been your music news for this evening. I have one burning question for you all. Do people really skip around the maypole?
Two douchebags and a microphone, as entertaining as a botulism burp.
Hey peeps, it's time for the police blotter. That's right, stories about stupid criminals and the dumbassness that ensued. Let us begin now.
A 24-year-old man in Louisiana decided to rob a non-cash smoothie store. The smoothie store only took cash apps and orders online. When the staff informed the man there wasn't even a cash register on the premises, he became irritated and instead demanded a smoothie, with his weapons still out. While the employee made his custom smoothie complete with acai berries and monk fruit, the manager tipped of the police in the back of the store. Joel Bennett of Monroe, Louisiana, was arrested for attempted armed robbery and causing a disturbance with a deadly weapon.
Oh Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
Oh no, that drunk guy just hit my child.
It's okay, I have a clown nose.
Clown nose, just put one on and you can do anything. Wanna run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Well, that new Hanson CD is just delightful.
Two douchebags and microphone. I'm Mark here in the Kansas City area at the Talk Is Cheap studio.
And I am Rob in Wheatland, Missouri, home of the magnificent Lucas Oil Speedway and Water Track, and also home of Jicamo Country Store, where you can find all your needs, including a selfie with the green Sinclair dinosaur in the Duck Blind Studio.
And the name of the dinosaur is Dino, by the way.
Yeah, Dino, yes.
And all right, which
I actually looked it up the other day when I was going into this. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Named Dino, and they can't say from the Flintstones because they don't want to pay them. So he's right. Just known as Dino the Green Dinosaur.
Yep.
Even though he does look like Dino considerably, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, Rob, let's go to the bag.
Our opinion.
Yes. Thank you. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, Rob, let's go to you. I think you might have a bag of garbage there sitting there, don't you?
Yes.
You want to get rid of some of it?
Time for Rob's bag of garbage.
The best segment ever, ever in the history of everything.
Here we go.
Okay.
In 1952, claims that smoking causes cancer caused Kent Cigarettes to come out with an asbestos filter to protect its smokers.
Oh my God.
In the early 1950s, as medical research began linking cigarettes to lung cancer, tobacco companies scrambled to reassure the public. Kent Cigarettes, a brand owned by Lorillard, introduced its so-called Micronite filter in 1952.
Wow.
Claiming it offered unparalleled protection against harmful particles.
Wow.
Yeah. What they didn't disclose was that the filter was made of chrysolite asbestos.
Oh, wow.
Whew. The most dangerous type known to cause mesothelioma.
That's not good.
Bands of Americans smoke these safety cigarettes, believing they were making a healthier choice. When the truth emerged decades later, Kent and its parent company faced lawsuits with former smokers and factory workers who had been exposed to toxic fibers. The incident became a dark example of corporate negligence and how fear of bad press can create even greater harm. It also highlighted the errors of blind trust and science as a marketing tool rather than a safeguard for public health.
Wow.
Okay, when my mom and dad quit smoking, I was stealing Kent cigarettes from them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were smoking the Kent 3s.
I remember Kent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they sell them anymore, do they?
No, they are no longer. I don't know. As far as I know, you cannot find them.
Yeah, I have not seen them in years, so that would, I'm pretty sure they don't sell them. Okay. Wow. All right, you got another one, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I got one more.
All right.
Easy one.
Okay.
in Star Trek goes where no man has ever gone before.
Mm-hmm.
But they always find someone there.
That's a great point. Yeah, you're right. There's always someone on a planet getting ready to try to fuck them up. But they always act like they're friend, but they're not. But then they have ulterior motives, and Captain Kirk and Spock figure it out and get him, right?
And evidently, it's a bag of garbage. Had to mention it, you know. They didn't want to say it. Put it out there.
I love it. It's true. Is that in on it?
Yeah, that is. Get it on tonight.
I love that, though. It's true. All right. You ever hear of the box demon, Rob?
No.
These sightings refer to a viral doorbell camera footage from March 2025 in York County, Pennsylvania, showing a person in a flower-like mask leaving an empty box and identifying himself as a box demon. A harmless prank that gained traction online and led to the person being identified by the police, who confirmed no public safety threat. Why he done it, he has no reason why he done that, but he likes to do that, and he calls himself the box demon, and this is not the only time he's done it. But I wish there was a lasagna demon. Goes around with a chef hat. Like, you know, Chef Boyardee, leaving lasagna at your doorstep. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That'd be real nice.
Oh, yeah, lasagna demon. It's like, hey, Rob, you know, you heard the dog barking, right? Yeah? You was out there? No. The lasagna demon. What? Okay, so here I come. Okay. I go to the door, okay, and I come back, and okay, here you go. Who was that? Okay, so go ahead, Rob, do it. Okay, I'm coming back from the door. Okay, we're both at your house, okay? And the door rings, okay? I'm coming back, and you go, hey, Mark, go ahead, ask me who it was and all that, okay?
Who was it?
That was the lasagna demon. Okay, now it's your turn.
I don't believe it.
It's the lasagna demon. Look, come here. Look, see all that lasagna? The dude leaves
the... Holy shit!
Yeah, that's the lasagna demon, dude. Look at all this lasagna. Now, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, too bad there's not a lasagna demon.
Now, watch out for my dogs, because they're about to eat it all.
Oh, shit, you know what? Yeah. Put that shit up. Put it in the fridge. They're about ready to get it. So, all right. All right, Rob, you got something?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was sitting here trying to pick out which one.
Okay.
Let's go ice cream cones.
Hell yeah, can't go wrong with that.
It seems like anything that was created, invented, or simply experimented with happened at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis.
Okay.
One of those creations is a dessert you probably have in your kitchen right now. The ice cream cone. The 1904 St. Louis World's Fair introduced Americans to foods like the hamburger, hot dog, iced tea, cotton candy. However, many food historians agree that the most influential food invention from the fair was the ice cream cone. Ice cream itself was invented in China and became commercially popular in the 1850s. The ice cream cone was invented in Missouri, earning it a prominent place in American food history.
Cool. I didn't know this.
St. Louis. Huh?
I said I didn't know this. Go ahead, please.
The St. Louis World's Fair is widely recognized as a turning point for American food culture. Visitors were exposed to new flavors and creative ideas they had never seen before. While many probably assumed these foods were temporary novelties, one invention stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it was invented, though. Does it go into how it was invented?
Yes. Sorry, I was coughing.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. That invention came from Ernest Hamley, a Syrian-born waffle concessionaire, when an ice cream vendor next to him ran out of glass serving dishes. Hamley rolled one of his thin waffles into a cone, filled it with ice cream, and then knowingly created one of the most iconic desserts in the world.
There's nothing better than a waffle cone, too. A freshly baked waffle cone with ice cream in the middle of it. Is that not so fucking good?
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. Oh. And the places that make their own waffles and they're nice and steamy and they put the whatever mint chip or whatever in the middle. Oh my gosh, that is so good. So anyhow, go ahead. It was
in this article. It says, if you're craving classic ice cream cone, here are some of the best spots in Missouri to check out.
Okay.
Becky's Old Fashioned Ice Cream. Parlor and Emporium in Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Remo's in Kent. Sparky's Ice Cream in Columbia. And the Fountain on Locust in St. Louis.
Mm. Okay. We have some good places here. Betty Ray's is amazing. They make everything themselves from scratch. And they even have like burn-in ice cream. And not all the time.
Burn-end ice cream.
It's fucking good, dude. I have my reservations about it, too. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, the lady at the counter, she said, here, I'll give you a sample. I tried. I'm like, yeah, I'll take 3 tons of that wrapped up. Thank you. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Yeah, that stuff, it was good. Real good. It was salty sweet. Salty sweet is good, right?
Always.
And it's Kansas City Joe's Barbecue. Those are the burnt ends they put on it, which are fantastic anyhow. Some of the best burnt ends in Kansas City, so. All right. Thank you, Rob. Was that it on it or not?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Devotees at India's Bihari Temple were filmed drinking water from an elephant sculpture, mistakenly believing it was holy water when it was actually condensation for the temple's air conditioning unit.
Oh,
how in the fuck do you get it's holy water from an air conditioning unit is what I would like to know. Wouldn't they... Okay, I'm going to go on. Sparking debate about faith, critical thinking, and health risks as AC water can harbor mold and bacteria. Despite warnings from a person recording the video, many continue to consume the water. Those worshippers have a strong faith, I really guess, right? I mean... that's like tempting everything. Like, no, nah, God's going to take care of me because I'm going to act like this is holy water.
Like it to me.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's pretty much it. They were drinking condensation from an air conditioner, and they thought it was holy water, but it does not explain anything else is what got me. It's like, how did that holy water get into a vase or a chan, what do they call them, a Chandlin, no, shit. A chalice. Yeah. Yeah, how did it get into a chalice or whatever? I don't get that, you know? Was someone playing a joke on him? I don't know. It didn't explain it, but I just thought that was interesting. And that is India's Bihari Temple. So, anyhow, it is 9/11. Do you want to go ahead and shut this shit show down, or you want to keep it going?
Actually, I think probably done for the night, brother.
You know what, brother? I gotta get up. Tomorrow's my early day. I have to be up at 4, so it's gonna be a good idea for me to crash too. So
I get up at 5 every morning. So
yep. Anyhow, Grandma Opal update. She's not good.
Yes.
Not good at all.
Oh,
yeah. So anyhow, we wish her the best. We keep praying. Yeah, she's in our prayers. We love her. And I hope she can still understand what we're saying. We love you, Grandma Opal. You will always be our most treasured listener. So thank you.
Yes.
And Jimmy, always. Jimmy, hang in there. It's not easy.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.